And my boss was a big runner, and he was a big triathlete, and he used to come in my office and say, "Hey, Max, let's, you know, you want to go for a run today?" I'm like, "Oh, sir, I got a lot to do, you know." And he'd look at me and be like, "I'm your boss, so I get to determine what you do." And that wasn't really a question.
Diz Runs Radio, episode 441 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is brought to you by Audible.com. We'll talk a little bit more about them a little bit later, but just want you to know that you can get a free book, a free download book of your choice to keep no matter what, and a free 30-day trial on Audible by going to dizruns.com/audible. That'll redirect you there. It'll let them know that you came from the show, so I get a little credit for it. You roll a couple shekels my way. But more importantly, I mean, what does it do for you? It gets you a free book, and you can test it out, try it out. I think you do have to enter like your payment information, credit card information, but rest assured, it is completely risk-free, so you can cancel within the first 30 days, and it's not a difficult process to cancel, I promise. It's real easy. A couple of clicks, you log in, cancel, bada-boom, you're never charged, and the book is yours to keep. So if you want to check it out, again, head over to dizruns.com/audible, and let me know what book you read. I'm always looking for the next book, and would be curious what you're interested. So let me know. Thanks to Audible for sponsoring this episode. And now, let's get on with today's show. Hey guys, my guest today is getting ready to embark on quite the running adventure. As we are chatting, she is putting the finishing touches on the preparations to run from San Diego, California to Virginia Beach, Virginia. Her reasons for doing a transcontinental run are many, and we will surely dig into them over the course of the next handful of miles. So without any further ado, it is my pleasure to be able to welcome Ms. Maggie Seymour to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Maggie.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is certainly mine. And guys, if you want to check out what Maggie's got going on and the website for her transcontinental run, easy for me to say, head over to runfreerun.com. And if you want to connect with her on the Instagram or the Twitter, on the social media, it's the same handle, both places. And it's at runfreerun2017. So the number is 2017 at the end of runfreerun2017. And as per usual, as you know, we'll have the links to connect with Maggie and the link to our website and the link to anything else we talk about that makes sense to link to in the show notes for today's episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/441. So Maggie, the way we always start off on the show is with a very simple and straightforward question that sometimes has a simple and straightforward answer, and sometimes it is a bit of a complex and layered answer. But it's a great way to start the conversation, I think, and it's just a simple question. And here it is: what is your favorite distance to race, and why?
I think I'd have to say the 50K. The 50K is your first ultra distance. And I like it because it's only about 5 miles more than a marathon, but mm-hmm. you can walk straight out the gate. So you have a marathon that if you're walking the first mile of a marathon, people are kind of giving you looks, but you're walking the first mile of a 50K, and that's just how ultra runners run. It's a manageable distance that sounds pretty cool. You know, when you go to K's versus miles, that seems a little bit more impressive. But I also like running because you have a bunch of first-time ultra runners, which is always fun to see people on the first time that they do, you know, their longest race, or they realize that they can do something a little bit further or harder than they had originally thought. That's always really cool. And you have that, you know, trail ultra feeling that you don't get in your 10Ks or 5Ks or even half marathons, marathons.
Yeah, definitely. I was one of those first timers not too long ago. I ran my first ultra marathon, first trail race, just earlier this year in, I guess it was February, March, something like the end of February, first part of March. I can't remember the exact date, but it was earlier this spring. And, it was definitely a different experience after running, you know, a dozen half marathons and 8 or 10, you know, road marathons, things like that. It's definitely a different thing, a different experience. Maybe we'll back up to a second before we get into how'd you get into ultra running. How'd you get into running in general? I mean, was that something that's always been part of your life, or where did the running bug bite you?
It was in eighth grade. So okay. Where I grew up, softball and cross country were the same seasons. So in the fall, when I was in junior high, I played softball all my life, Little League, just because that was what was available. Mm-hmm. And our team was awful, and we lost every game, every season. And so my eighth grade year, I decided that I didn't want to lose anymore. And I very selfishly, I think I was, 12, 13 at the time, very selfishly wanted to play a sport where I could, win on my own and get, all that, which little did I know about running is never a solitary sport. But so I joined the cross country team about a week late, and we did a mile time trial, and I absolutely hated it. And I asked my coach how anyone ever really liked running. And he said, it's like a fine scotch. You have to acquire taste for it. So, and he was right.
And like any good eighth grader would know how to develop a taste for a fine scotch.
It's right. What is that? Is that like a wine cooler?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So how long did it take you to fall in love with it? I mean, I'm going to assume that it took maybe a little while, but maybe it was quick. I don't know. How long?
I loved it in high school. I ran cross country in high school, and it was just, anyone, I'm assuming, reading the pre-books, and cross country is just kind of, it's like a smaller version of ultras. They're mm-hmm. just kind of a ragtag kind of hippie, there was 10 of us. I think there was one other girl, my first year. We had a co-ed locker room, which I still don't know how,
how that worked out,
how our coach got away with that. But it was truly a family. We spent, I don't know if I fell in love with the running part right away, but I definitely fell in love with the community right away. And we spent 3 hours before, school together, and 3 hours after, and every weekend and every Friday night before big races. And I really liked that. I took a little break when I was in college, a break from all sorts of fitness. I think the only time I saw the inside of a gym was when I was giving a tour. But I joined the Marine Corps right after college, and I remember, that's probably was the impetus to get back in shape. And then I really fell in love with running itself, probably about a year into the Marine Corps. So I guess fell in love with the community took, about 6 hours, but to fall in love with running probably took about 6-7 years.
Right. That sounds about right. I mean, I've often said that it, for me, running was a lot like coffee and beer, I guess. And maybe to some extent, it's becoming like that with scotch too. It was a very acquired, you did it for a while, and then eventually you started to actually enjoy it.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
So you mentioned that the being in the Marine Corps, thank you for serving the country. Very much appreciated. What was it about being in the Marines so here's my civilian impression. Like, if you don't really care that much for running and you haven't run that much in college, and now you go into the Marines and you've got, again, the stereotype, somebody's yelling at you to go run, whatever, however many miles or however long or whatever the case might be. That doesn't sound to me like the type of atmosphere where I'd be like, I actually kind of like this running thing. So burst my bubble and give me the scoop of how that, the Marine environment or being in the Marines or whatever it was about that part of your life that made you kind of come back and really appreciate running and really, really make it be something that is going to be a part of your life, I'm going to assume probably for as long as it can possibly be.
Yeah. Well, and you're right. I still to this day don't respond to the Marine Corps running thing, the running information. And when I joined the Marine Corps, I was actually pretty terrible at it. So it's funny whenever I see people from, that I met the first year during what we call OCS, which is kind of like officer boot camp. Mm. But when I see people from there and they're like, wait, you run now? Like, you hated running. but it was probably not a very typical Marine Corps experience. I was deployed in Iraq. I was a staff officer, so I was on base, air conditioning, had a very easy non-combat deployment. But we had a big flight line. We had a 15-mile loop flight line because I was with the Air Wing. And my boss was a big runner, and he was a big triathlete, and he used to come in my office and say, hey, Max, you want to go for a run today? I'm like, oh, sir, I got a lot to do, And he'd look at me and be like, I'm your boss, so I get to determine what you do. And that wasn't really a question, we're going to go for a run today. So I'd say, okay, all right, well, let's go now when it's still cool out. And he was a freak of nature. He was mid-40s, super fit guy. He was this Italian Greek, just powerhouse of an athlete. And he would be like, oh, let's wait a little bit. And then, so we have weather conditions, red flag, mm-hmm. It goes white, yellow, red, black flag. Black flag is basically like it's hot and you're, you know, you can't spend more than 15 minutes outside. So it, as soon as that black flag would go up, he'd call and he'd say, let's go for a run. And, you know, it's July in Iraq and it was just miserable. And I guess that's not a very good story of how I fell in love with it. But I mean, I did. It was peaceful. It was, you know, my time. It was, we had a standing run every Saturday, a long run. We'd ride our bikes out there too. It was my time to be with myself and to, you know, process things. And at the same time running with, you know, my fellow Marines, my fellow colleagues. And the desert, it doesn't make any sense to me. I still haven't figured it out, but the desert is still my very favorite place to run. I don't know if it's because it's so desolate and I mean, there's nothing to see. There's a beautiful sunrise and a beautiful sunset, but that's about it.
Right.
Other than that, it's just sand and dirt. So, but that's where I really fell in love with the running itself.
I wonder if, and maybe you've thought of this or maybe you haven't, but just hearing it, I wonder if that was maybe a connection to home too, since it was something that you did and then didn't do in college. And here you go, like you're out in the desert and I'm running a little bit.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I grew up in a town of 200 people outside of a town of 200 people. So I graduated high school with the same people I went to kindergarten with. Up until last year, I lived with my best friend from kindergarten. So I'm very much as much as I claim to be a world traveler and like to travel around, I'm very much a small town community kind of person. And I think you're right. Running was brought me back to that. It gave me a link back home. I think that's probably pretty insightful.
Every once in a while I stumble upon something that could be classified as insightful, but it probably, you know, I hope you enjoyed it, 'cause it probably won't happen again the rest of today's chat. But when then did you get into ultra racing? 'Cause I have to feel like there's a little difference between, you know, even if you're starting to enjoy it, your boss saying, hey, let's go for a run, Maggie. And I'm going to sign up to go run for however long distances that you end up going.
I think that was probably the competitive side. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who, when she was deployed, I think I'd started running, or kept running after the deployment, and I was in Virginia Beach, and she had sent me an email. It was actually the Umstead 100. Mm-hmm. And she said, hey, did you know that, there was 100-mile races? And I was like, oh man, that's crazy. And then she sent me, it was one of those things of like, hey, you want to run this half marathon? She's like, yeah. And then we can run this marathon. And then somehow she found this real, I mean, very low key 35 mile. It's called the Jetty to Jetty in Florida. I mean, it's the type of race where you still had to send in a check with the registration fee. And I mean, it was $35 to register. I mean, something that's unheard of these days. Mm-hmm. But she sent me that, a link, and she's like, hey, let's do this one. And it was just kind of a little bit of a one-up thing, but in a very friendly way, I guess. It was one of those, well, if I can run a marathon, I could run 30 miles. If I can run 30 miles, I could probably run 50 miles. Just, you know, one of those things that I think, mm-hmm, is probably pretty common amongst ultras. And I ran that the first one, and it was on the beach in Florida. And I got burnt. I mean, like sun poisoning burnt. It was awful. I cursed her name the whole time. She actually ended up not being able to come. So I suckered another friend into it, but it was just amazing. It was awesome. The people were awesome. It was just the right combination of really, really hard and really, really awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I was kind of hooked from there.
How far have you gone in the distances of the ultra marathons?
So I've done 2 100-mile races. I have dropped out of way more than that. I have completed 2 full 100s.
Which ones?
The Beast of Burden up in New York, which, mm-hmm, was my first one. And then the Javelina 100 down in, I guess it's Arizona, New Mexico.
Right.
Arizona. A couple years ago, 2014, I think.
Gotcha. That's that 100-mile, and I'm probably going to kick myself for saying this, but it's not appealing yet, but it's intriguing. It's intriguing to me.
Yes.
I don't understand it.
I don't either.
But you've done it. At least you can say you've done it, and you still don't understand it.
After the first one, I attempted one in Lake Martin, which was just, it's in Alabama, and it was the inaugural race. And again, the race director was just amazing. And it was like, oh, destined to be a first timer, like easy rolling hills, not technical terrain, clay. So even if it rains, it'll dry out. And I showed up there and it was a thunderstorm all the night before. And I think my feet were dry for 30 seconds of that entire race. And I dropped out at mile 60, and I asked the guy, I was like, I don't know if dry and technical mean something different in the South, but this course was just awful. And it was like, he was heartbroken because he really was like, oh, I thought this was going to be a very easy, gentle course. And it wasn't. But I called my friend Eric and I was like, I don't think we ran 100 miles. He's like, what? Of course we did. That was the Beast of Burden, the guy I run the Beast of Burden with. And he's like, why do you think that? I'm like, it's impossible. Like, it's impossible. Nobody can do this. He's like, Maggie, I know that we did it. I'm like, no, I think we caught something. We must have, cut 25 miles off because maybe if you do 10 or 20 of them, but I mean, I've done two and I still don't understand how, how you do it. Or I sometimes don't believe that I maybe have done it. So I don't know.
Oh, well, I can't do anything but give kudos to those who have done it and done multiple ones. That's even more impressive. It's something that like I said, it's still beyond my realm of grasping, but that was ultra marathoning for a while. And then, I finally got talked into that and now it's like, well, I mean, I have no desire, but it's like maybe someday I could be cajoled into trying to something crazy. I could probably get talked into a 50 miler at this point. Maybe because there's too many people listening that would be like, all right, let's go.
Start getting emails.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe I get talked into a 50 miler, but that's about my limit at the moment. So, with what you're doing, getting into this transcontinental run, that's 100 miles times a few. So not that you're doing 100 miles straight every time, obviously, but a lot of running. We'll just start with the most obvious question and we'll branch off from there. Why run from San Diego to Virginia Beach?
You could probably ask me this 7 different days and get 7 different answers. But I think there's probably 2 missions. One's probably a very kind of deeply personal. It's a journey that I want to go on. And then the bigger issue or the bigger public mission is I want to help people get involved in their communities. I mean, the running community has always been there for me through deployments, through, moves, bad times, good times, anyone who's a runner knows that. Even if you're not running, even if you're injured or you're taking a break, like the running community is always there. And it's not political, it's not based on race or religion or even economic status. It's just people that are together with a kind of a common value system, and that's been hugely impactful for me. And then 10 years in the Marine Corps, I've been very lucky to be a part of a number of communities. And this is kind of my chance to give back to them. So during the race, we'll be gifting specialized equipment and sponsorships to some veterans, Gold Star families, and special needs athletes. And so for me to be able to do something that gets people involved and do something positive to give back to the communities that have embraced me and given me so much, is really just kind of a humbling honor, I guess, is the best way to put that. So that's why, kind of a circular answer to a pretty straightforward question, but that's kind of my motivation.
Why the locations? I think I know from looking at the website and whatnot, but for those who haven't done any background on you, why San Diego to Virginia Beach? Why? I mean, there's a million places you could run from coast to coast. Why are those the beginning and end?
Yeah, so there is some symbolism there. I run with an organization called Team Hoyt, and the sister organization, Ainsley's Angels, which my sister is a chapter president in Illinois, and one of my very good friends is the chapter president in Washington. So I joined Team Hoyt Virginia Beach, and for the longest time, that was the only Team Hoyt chapter. Team Hoyt was started in New England by a father-son team, Rick and Dick Hoyt. And Rick was born with cerebral palsy in the 70s. And long story short, the doctors told them to, put Rick in a home and kind of forget about it. And Dick and Judy said, no, we're gonna raise him as normal as possible. And through, years of growth, finally Rick said one day that he wanted to run a race. And my favorite part of this story is that he wanted to run a charity race for a local athlete that was in a car crash and was paralyzed. And his reason was to show this newly paralyzed classmate that there was life in a wheelchair, that, that his life wasn't over. So here you have a guy who has spent his entire life in a wheelchair. He's looking to go out and inspire other people and to help other people, which is just amazing. So he said, "Dad, I want to run." And Dick said, "Okay. If your coach wants to push you, that's fine." And he said, "No, Dad, I want you to push me." So he said, "Okay." So, and Dick will tell you he was probably, you know, bad heart, never ran. And they did, a 5-mile road race. And he said they came in second to last. And then he was on the floor for next week. But they were hooked. So they started running all these races. They've done Ironmans. They're in the Ironman Hall of Fame. They've done the Boston Marathon 30-something years in a row. They did the Marine Corps Marathon to qualify for Boston in like 2:40, which is just ridiculous. But here's, you know, this man pushing his son. So they started a chapter in Virginia Beach, and that's where I got involved. And then when the Marine Corps moved me to San Diego, there was a Team Hoyt San Diego chapter. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of going from Team Hoyt San Diego to Team Hoyt Virginia Beach. And I'll actually should end in Virginia Beach on my anniversary race. So it'll be 6 years. Yeah, 6 years since my first Team Hoyt race, which would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Lots of variables, but hopefully that'll all work out and you'll get there right on the day. That would be really cool.
Yeah, that's the plan.
All righty. Well, I certainly want to get a lot more into this, but before we do, I just want to take a quick minute and remind everybody, guys, this episode is sponsored by Audible. I mean, obviously, you listen to podcasts because you're listening to me right now, so you can't say you're not an auditory type of person. If you want to add another book to your life, Lord knows I don't read enough books, but with Audible, I've been able to at least pick up a book, you know, and work through a book in addition to listening to podcasts and on a run and this and that and the other. So if you want to get a free one, all you gotta do is head over to disruns.com/audible, and they'll give you a free audiobook and a free trial for 30 days. It's real easy to cancel if you don't want to do it, and you get to keep the book. So it's really, really, really easy, really, really risk-free. And for everybody who's listening and you've heard me talk about this before, I finally have downloaded How Bad Do You Want It, the Matt Fitzgerald book. So I'll be reporting back soon on how that book goes. I know, Maggie, you said you're an Audible type of person before we got started here today. Any book recommendations for anybody who's maybe thinking about taking the plunge or is already an Audible listener but looking for a recommendation?
Oh, God. I have a whole list.
it could be running or not, just whatever floats your boat.
I think I just finished the Paula Hawkins books. And for me, sometimes on a run, I need something entertaining and not necessarily thought-provoking. So the Girl on the Train and the Into the Water books I just finished, which were pretty awesome.
Yeah, I had a little string there where I was going with some kind of like fictiony, more fun stuff, because like every once in a while, like I like to learn from listening, but every once in a while, like, you don't want to have to be paying attention while you're right on a run or doing the dishes or whatever. Like, just have something fun listening in the background is nice.
Yep.
All right. So, again, guys, disruns.com/audible, get yourself a free book, free download, check it out, and be careful. You might like it. And it's really not that expensive, really, to get a book every month. It's $15 is what it works out to be after your trial period. But the first book is completely free, 30 days. You can cancel, no problem. So Maggie, getting back to this journey, this San Diego to Virginia Beach, again, there's so many questions I have on something like this, but maybe the first one, since we did kind of touch on it just before we talked about Audible there, you know, if everything works out, you're going to be in Virginia Beach on a certain day. What kind of logistical, I don't know if nightmare is the right word, but maybe it is. What kind of logistical challenge is it to put something like this together?
I think it's as challenging as you want to make it. I mean, just like with any big plan, my approach has been to kind of lock down the big stuff, but just understand that things are going to change. So I haven't gotten too wrapped up in the details, and, you know, maybe that'll come to bite me later on. But we have a route. One of my old roommates was a logistics officer in the Marine Corps. So if things go wrong, I'm definitely blaming her. We have a camper van, so, you know, worst case scenario, we have a place to sleep every night. But the idea is to keep it very kind of low key. I want to meet as many people as possible, and stopping at VFWs and American Legions and firehouses and churches across. I mean, we're running right through middle America, so hopefully we'll be able to stop at all those little small towns, and coming from a small town, like I know how, you know, receptive and warm, welcoming people can be. So I am banking on the kindness of my fellow Americans, I guess. But logistically, yeah, the big points, the dates, the making sure we have a van that's going to run. And I'm sure at some point we're going to get a flat tire or run out of gas or something. So we'll just have to you know, roll with it, I guess, is my approach.
What's how big of a crew do you have? How many people are coming with you?
So I have one person coverage throughout the whole thing. We're going to rotate out. So we'll start with one of my old students, and then my roommate will come for a little bit. And then I have a couple friends, and my dad actually will drive for a little bit as well. So we're kind of rotating in and out across the 3 months.
Gotcha. I can't even begin to imagine. Like, and I would do it exactly the same way you are. Where it's like, what are the biggest things that need to be addressed? Because yeah, if you tried to micromanage every small detail, like you'd never, you'd drive yourself crazy before you even started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I agree.
What's been the biggest struggle with the things that you have tried to plan so far? What's been the biggest hurdle you've had to overcome at this point before you even started? Where there's going to be more hurdles, obviously, but what's been the toughest part so far?
I think just coordinating support. So I always feel bad. I have a lot of great friends, and I actually have more friends than I thought that are maybe fun and polite or taking a vacation. But it's hard for me to ask someone, hey, what are you doing for, you know, 3 weeks, a month, or even a week? Like, can you come out to the middle of America, drive my van, and, you know, support me on my journey? That's hard for me to ask. So the biggest thing has just, which I don't think I've had to ask anyone. Everyone has volunteered. So that's pretty amazing. Oh, maybe my dad. I think I had to ask my dad. but the just coordinating, you know, people coming in and people coming out, and making sure that flights come into the right place, and making sure that we arrange it all whenever I'm having a rest day so that we can get to the airport and pick them up and get back. I think it's been the biggest kind of, not really headache, just, you know, making sure that all the lines line up. So we don't have a gap in coverage, you know?
Right. Right. So speaking of rest days, that was going to be another question. So certainly you've worked a couple, a handful of rest days, or however, or whatever the frequency is into your schedule. Rest day is going to be part of it, obviously, but I mean, what's the recovery plan, or what's the day to day, you know, is there an average number of miles you're looking at, or some places, you know, maybe depending on cities and places that you might stop is going to play a factor in that, but how's that shaken out so far?
Yeah. So the same kind of, approach is getting the big things and then just being willing to adjust. So I think right now we have it roughly about 6 days on, 1 day off. And we've tailored those rest days around key cities and, you know, support crew switch outs, and then kind of stuff like that. The only really hard dates that I have is a, you know, start date, end date. And then I do want to be in DC for the Marine Corps Marathon too. So everything around those kind of three key dates is flexible. And then I've made a list, I mean, like most runners, when you're done with the run, all you want to do is shower and sleep, and sometimes not even shower. So I've made a list based on, one of my good friends, Anna Judd, actually ran, did a crossing a couple years ago, and she, you know, that was her advice, was just have a list of things that you're going to do every day. So ice bath, you know, compression, Epsom salt, elevation, and just every day, just do that. Even in the beginning, especially in the beginning when you think that maybe you don't need it, just have that checklist where, okay, I'm done running and now I have to do this. So we've broken it down to about 35 miles a day. And then my plan for that, in the very beginning is just, my biggest fear is an injury, something that would stop the run. So, at least for the first couple of weeks, it's just going to be a lot of walking. So if anyone comes to run with me during those first couple of weeks, just, you know, expect to do some hiking or jogging or some sort of combination of run walking. So the plan is to try to stick as close as possible. And then maybe the days that I don't have somebody with me, or the days where we have cool weather, or, you know, it's a nice downhill, try to get a couple miles in the bank. And, if we need to flex left or right, then, you know, we can flex left and right. And why the intent is to get to Virginia Beach by that date. If, you know, if that doesn't happen, then it's not going to be the end of the world. It's, right. You know, we can flex. I don't have a job anymore, so I don't need to be back anywhere. As long as we get to the coast at some point, that's the plan.
So, 35 miles a day, which if my math works out, that's about a 50K. So I'm wondering if I ask you that question, you know, in November, what your favorite distance to race is, I wonder if 50K might be the absolute last possible distance that would be your favorite.
Yeah, you might be right.
Oh, goodness. But yeah, it's one of those things where I think, you know, to me, it still sounds fairly ridiculous. It may still sound fairly ridiculous to you, but it does make it a little bit more manageable because you know you can do a 50K. You've done them before. You'll do them again, you know, and you can do it with a decent amount of walking, and that's probably a good strategy to start out real easy. Don't push it early. You know, just like at the beginning of any type of race, don't push it at the beginning part because you're going to need to save a little something for the end.
Right. Yep.
Oh, man. But it's still going to be quite the adventure. So you mentioned that you got the route pretty well planned out. Are you looking, and I think you mentioned this too, if people might want to run with you, are you looking for people to join in and share some miles with you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The route is on the website, so you can see. And we're going to stick pretty close to that.
Okay.
The plan, the logistics plan, the rest day. I will, you know, do my blog and my collection of thoughts from the previous week, but that's the day that we'll use to plan the next week. So that's when we'll go in, and we use a system that avoids major highways and stuff like that. But we'll go in the week before and just see if there's construction or anything like that. And so the route might change ever so slightly in certain places, but we're going to stick pretty close to that. And then there's a tracking, I have a tracking app on there as well. And then there'll be a document where you can sign up to come run as well. But yes, the more people that I have, the better. You asked me another reason why, another motivation is, speaking of Audible, the Travels with Charlie in Search of America, which I actually listened to or read through Audible last year, but it's a Steinbeck novel, and I'm not sure if your listeners are familiar or not, but essentially, John Steinbeck says that he's kind of lost touch with his fellow citizens. He's lost touch with Middle America and lost touch with Americans. So he goes on a road trip with Charlie, his dog, and just bumbles about the country for a couple months, and getting to know people and meeting people. And that's kind of one of the goals here, is just to meet as many people as possible and to say hi to as many people as possible, and hear their stories and see what they're out there for. Just kind of a longer Travels with Charlie, running with Charlie, I guess. So yeah, the more people that come out and you know, if I could say one thing, that the pace, don't be concerned about the pace. One, I will be crawling at some points. And my rule of thumb is I will go as slow as whoever the slowest person in the group is. I have all day to get those 30 miles in. So, if someone wants to come out and maybe they can only walk, or maybe they're a, 14 minute miler, like that's fine. Come on out and share some miles and chat with me. I will definitely need it.
Yeah, I would imagine. I would imagine that, over the course of, what is it going to be, about three months, 3.5 months, something like that is the target?
100 days. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, a little bit of different conversations and different faces and friendly faces would probably be much appreciated. So, obviously it's on the website, but just general, I don't know if you can rattle off all the states or whatever, but for folks that are listening, they're like, man, like I'm kind of like, for me, it's like, God, I'm in Florida. So like, I know odds are probably not coming this, too close down here, but, kind of middle states is kind of the general idea.
Yeah, we'll start in San Diego, we'll go almost due east to Arizona, and then we'll meet up with the Route 66, part of the, American history feel to it. So we'll do Route 66, which goes through Phoenix and Albuquerque, and then over through Amarillo, up through Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Springfield, Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri, Springfield, Illinois, which is my close to my hometown. And then we'll go over east. I think Indianapolis and Columbus are the major cities in Indiana and Ohio. We'll go down through West Virginia, over to Alexandria, and then down to Virginia Beach.
Gotcha. That's that'll be quite the adventure. I mean, that's a road trip when you're driving it. But you know, I've also said before that you know, the best way to see anything, I think, is running. So you're gonna get to see just some beautiful parts of the country. And I mean, shoot, when you're in that part, and you're familiar with this since you've been in Virginia before, but man, that West Virginia area in the fall with the colors, like that's gonna be glorious. Oh, it's gonna be beautiful.
Yep. It'll be totally worth running through the desert in August.
Yeah. Well, and you've got experience with that too. So this is going to be everything you know about running and the places you run. You know, you're going to get to experience it all again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It'll be like my little running biography.
Right. What are you, you mentioned injury, and obviously that's a realist, I don't want to say realistic, but a very real concern. But is there anything else that you're really concerned about, or are you just excited to get this thing going?
Injury is the big one. I mean, for me, I spoke with my friend Anna last night. She kind of walked me through some of it. I want to enjoy it, and I want to go out there and experience the run as I think it's going to be now, and not get so wrapped up in, you know, whatever, stressed out logistics. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my own personal goal, is to be able to do this with a certain sense of grace and gratitude. So my main concern would be that I would start to kind of spiral or stress or get angry or cranky, and I just need to make sure that, I guess my mental health injuries too. So, those are probably my big two concerns that I'll be watching pretty closely.
Yeah. What do you do for training leading up to something like this? Because I mean, I've talked to, and you know this from doing 100 miles, that even, you know, doing a 100 mile race, like the training isn't, it's not like you're doing 100 miles to prepare for it. And certainly you're not doing something like this to, you know, something to the scope of what you're doing here. So how's the training gone so far for you? Or what have you been doing, I guess?
So I'm notoriously terrible at training. it's hard for me. It almost takes the fun out of it. You know, like if I wake up on Saturday and I have written on my calendar, like, must run 17 miles, must run 30 miles. Like, that's not fun for me.
Right.
When I was doing the research on this, kind of two schools of thought is one, and this is, my friend Sean did this last year, and he ran across the country in like 50 days or something ridiculous. It ended up being like 50 or 60 miles a day. And I met him in Iowa, and he was just fine. Like, he was moving racing chairs and like running around. I'm like, how are you not sore? And he said, well, you know, for the last 2 years, I've been running 60, like he was trying to run 60 miles a day to get his body used to it. And then, you know, on the flip side, my friend Anna, who said, no, she didn't do that. So, you know, one school of thought is to prepare your body where on the start line, you're used to running 35 miles a day. But that, you know, now you're risking overuse, injury, burnout, all that kind of stuff, which I think to me is probably a bigger risk than showing up maybe a little undertrained, not really ready to run 35 miles a day, but mentally ready and, you know, mentally prepared. So I've done, you know, some long runs and some long run races around here. But I think my biggest preparation has been just, you know, yoga, CrossFit, some running, but really just preparing and kind of maintaining a certain level of humility, so that when I go out that first day, I'm not trying to run 35 miles. I'm comfortable walking right out the gate. So, my training has been much more focused on the mental preparation than I think the physical preparation.
Yeah, that's probably pretty wise. And it sounds like you've had some counsel from some folks who've obviously done it before, which you're able to pick their brains a little bit and figure out what works best for them. I know I've heard from folks who've done, you know, some of the you know, 7 marathons in 7 days type of different challenges that they have or whatever, you know, several back to back type of things, where, you know, after a certain point, like, you know, as long as you're taking care of yourself, which sounds like that's certainly part of your plan, your body starts to adapt and adjust, and it starts to, you know, like sometimes those that first week is almost harder than the middle weeks, because in that first week, your body's still adjusting and adapting to the demand of doing 35 miles a day, as opposed to after you've been doing it for a month. Not that it gets easy, but like your body is comfortable with that type of wear and tear.
Yeah, that I've heard this. I'm hoping on it.
Yeah, hopefully that plays out for you.
Yeah.
So as we're getting kind of close to wrapping this thing up, Maggie, I don't know. I'm sure you've thought of this, but I don't know if you have any answers yet. What's after this? Whether it's running related, whether it's other things. I know you're transitioning out of the Marines, so like you said, you don't have to be done by a certain day to get to a job or something like that. So you got a little freedom there. But you know, after you do something like this, the 100 days of fairly meticulous planning, even if you're not working it out down to the detail, like 100 days of running, crossing the country, meeting folks, doing some, you know, raising awareness for some great charities and giving out some things that, you know, whatever. I know you're collecting donations and all that kind of stuff. We'll send people to the website to check all that stuff out, and you can certainly feel free to plug any of the charities or any of the donations that you need too as well. But what comes after that?
That's a great question. I should probably finish school. I'm in a program right now that I've been just kind of struggling through my own little academic ultra marathon. I think that's probably the only thing I have planned. After that, I've put in some applications, looked at some, you know, government service or some nonprofit work. In terms of professional, I just have no real clue. Right. In terms of running, my friends have a bet that I'll never run again. So we'll see if they, I don't know what the over under is on that, but, yeah, I don't know. It's all that's part of the run is I'm sure somewhere in Oklahoma it'll strike me.
You'll figure it out.
What I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Yeah.
Gotcha. And that's, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm sure you've spent a little time thinking about it, but you got some bigger fish to fry right now. So I'm not surprised that you don't have a set answer yet. And who knows? I mean, you know, like this could be the thing that says that does get you to say, you know what, I'm done with running for a little bit. Although I get the sense that anybody who does something like this is not going to hang him up completely, but you might take a month or two off afterwards would be probably acceptable.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So as we're kind of at that point, Maggie, the way I like to end the shows these days and kind of put a bow on things is with something that I call a philosophical question, which sounds a lot worse than it is. So don't worry. But it's just kind of like the introductory question, kind of something that's pretty simple, pretty straightforward, and very much a unique answer. Everybody I've asked, I've got three or four different questions that I kind of cycle through and pick one depending on how our conversation has gone. But I've had the full range of answers from just a couple of words to, you know, several sentences to, you know, 10 minutes later, we're still kind of wrapping things up and all, you know, I say that to say that, you know, however you choose to answer it is perfectly fine. There's no right, no wrong. There's just your answer. I'd be curious at this point of your life, after starting running when you were in middle school and running through high school and then getting back to it, you know, like we talked about earlier, back when you get into the Marines, you get back to running and really fall in love with it. What does, to you, in your experience, what does it mean to be a runner? You know, when you think of, or when somebody labels you as a runner, when somebody says, oh, there's my friend Maggie over there and she's an awesome runner and she's doing this big thing, running across the country, blah, 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 blah. What do you... If it was your definition to pass on, what would you like that label of being a runner to say about you?
Ah, that's a great question. I think being a runner is someone that just appreciates the gifts that running gives. So maybe the distinction is voluntarily runs. So I would say someone who, you know, runs as part of a workout because their trainer tells them to, or because it's to burn fat or whatever. I mean, yeah, I guess technically you're a runner, but in the philosophical sense, I think a runner is anyone that on a regular basis, whatever that means to you, puts some shoes on and goes out and runs for whatever benefits running provides them. So whether that's, you know, the person who runs a 5K once a year or the person who runs 1,000 milers a year, it's if you go to running for some sort of mental or physical or spiritual benefit, I think that makes you a runner.
I think I would agree with you, and that's one of the things I love about those questions is that I always get different answers, but it's always something that's just like, yeah, like I even half the time there's stuff I've never thought of, and I don't think I never have. Easy for me to say. I don't think I've never thought of it quite that way, but it's beautiful. And I love it. So I'm going to gonna get out of the way before I muddy the water on that one. It's a great way to wrap up the show. And again, guys, runfreerun.com is the website, and it's got all the details, and it's, again, it's got all the organizations that Maggie supports. Maggie, give it one more time. And I know you mentioned a couple of them, but what are, I know there's like five or six different organizations, and I should have wrote them down. I'm a terrible podcast host, but what are the organizations that you're supporting again, or trying to raise a little bit of awareness about with this run across the country?
Yeah, so I guess the best way to break it down is the three different communities, which are veterans, and my two veterans organizations are Farmer Veterans Coalition, Mission Continues, and Warrior Expedition. So I guess that's three veterans organizations. Gold Star Families with Wear Blue, and then Special Needs Athletes, and that's Team Hoyt and Ainsley's Angels.
And there's information, I believe, on the website if people want to support or donate or things like that. All that stuff, all that information is there, right?
Yep, should be.
All right. Yeah. I'm 99% positive it is, because I remember seeing it, which is how I'm obviously bringing it up. So again, guys, runfreerun.com is the website. Check it out. Get on there and figure out, you know, if you're in that kind of the area where Maggie outlined kind of the route that she's taking, if you're in that surrounding area and you'd like to maybe give up a part of a day to go run a few miles with her, or walk a few miles with her, or crawl a few miles with her, depending on how things are going, I'm sure she would appreciate the company. So and that's on the website as well. There's the route page. It's a tab on the website. You can check it out. And again, runfreerun.com. I'm sure there'll be updates on the social medias and on Instagram and Twitter. It's at runfreerun. Easy for me to say. Goodness gracious. Easy to type. Hard to say. At runfreerun 2017, 2017. And we'll have those links in the show notes, disruns.com/441. So as this show comes out, she's embarking on her trip in just a couple of days. So this is getting released, as you know, as you're listening to this, on the 19th of July. And I believe Maggie said you're starting on the 22nd, right?
I am, yeah.
All right. So if you're hearing this, she's coming. She's coming your way. So check out the website and go join her for a few miles. Maggie, thank you so much for taking the time today. Thanks for, again, thank you for your service. Thank you for what you're doing. It's crazy to me, but it's awesome at the same time, and nothing but the best. I hope you have a great run. And if there's if there's ways that we can continue to support you as you're going, or, you know, whatever the next chapter of your life is as well, please let me know. Certainly hope to stay in touch. And if there's anything we can do to help you out, glad to do it. And nothing but the best going forward.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Maggie and myself. And as always, I'd love to know what you thought about it. What was your takeaway? What was the thing that we talked about, or that Maggie mentioned, or that maybe fell out of my mouth somewhere that resonated the most with you? For me, it had a lot to do with just Maggie's attitude about this endeavor she's going on, this run-free-run adventure. You know, for lack of a better way of calling it, I mean, a run across the country, that's an adventure. It's an epic journey, whatever you want to call it. And the fact that she was just so willing and ready to just kind of say, hey, we've got the big things planned out. And after that, we're just going to kind of roll with it. If we have to change the route a little bit, we'll change the route a little bit. If we have to take an extra rest day, we'll take an extra rest day. We have to be, you know, to this point at this time and this point at this time. And you know, other than knowing those few things, we'll kind of figure it out as we go. And that's something that I think I'm pretty good at, kind of laissez-faire and rolling with the punches. But it's something that I think as runners, it benefits us, and just as people in life. I think it's a trait that obviously there's some weaknesses to it. There's some drawbacks to it. But I think a lot of times we can get so hyper-focused on planning every last detail that, we don't take action. Either we don't start running, we don't start training for a race, we don't sign up for a race because we haven't planned every last detail, or we get so caught up in all the details that it freaks us out, and we have too much stress about the whole situation. Like Maggie said, obviously trying to plan this whole, you know, this three and a half month run, this 100-day run, there's no way you could plan it all down to the letter. So you have to be willing to roll with it. You have to be willing to adjust. And I mean, it's the same thing just in a race itself. There's so many things that can go wrong. There's so many variables. There's so many things that maybe could go right, that you just have to, you know, you have to have your plan on race day. You have to have your plan for your workouts, but you also have to be willing to adjust. And so, there's so many ways I think that this, that attitude, that spirit applies to not only our running, but our everyday life. And when she was talking about it, just that was the immediate takeaway I had. And then obviously listening back to it, it was still the head and shoulders above anything else that we talked about that really resonated with me. But that said, I know there's other things that could have easily stood out with you. So let me know what those things are. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns with your takeaway. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, you can head over to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/441. Leave a comment there, and that way other folks can see it as well. You also have all the links as well, again, at the show notes to connect with Maggie, to find out what she's doing, to stay connected with her as she's on her journey, which is happening in just a couple days. She's heading out. So as this episode gets released here towards the end of July, just a couple days she's taking off, and obviously for the rest of the next 100 days until sometime in October, she'll be out on the road running. Hopefully, fingers crossed, everything goes well. So good luck to Maggie. Thanks for her for taking the time today. And don't forget, audible.com. Actually, go through me, if you wouldn't be so, if you'd be so kind. DizRuns.com/audible. That helps keep the lights on here. And also gives you a free trial period, a free chance to try out Audible if you haven't done so already. 30 days, plus a free book. And the free book is yours to keep whether you cancel or not. So thank you guys for listening today. Hope that you enjoy this episode of the show. And just appreciate your time. Appreciate you taking me with you wherever it is that you are today, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing. Appreciate you listening. Hope you have a great rest of the day. And we'll certainly look forward to talking again soon. So until then, take care, guys.